Today on Real Radio.
A lot of people, more now than before, will say, Jack, I think God's telling me to be your assistant pastor. Well, that's pretty neat. But do they know what an assistant pastor should be like? We should be willing at any moment to take out trash. But everybody wants a microphone and a spotlight, but nobody wants to do the things that nobody sees. Trash? Children's ministry? I think I hear God calling me some. Oh, yes, yes, he's calling me to the church down the street. I'll see you later. Let him go. God promotes, Proverbs tells us, not from the east, from the west, from the north, or from the south, but from above. God promotes. Stephen's this kind of guy.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts. We'll be looking closely at the last 8 verses of chapter 6. As is the case with much of this New Testament narrative, this section tells us of the evangelism going on at the time and the two polarized reactions to it. The Witnessing Church is the title of today's presentation, and in fact, that's what we're calling this mini-series, taken from chapters 6 and 7. The Witnessing Church. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
We believe that God's Word is not only intelligent, but it should be intelligently studied as well. And we have realized in our lives that by being in the Word of God, miraculously, we can't explain it, can't put our finger on it. But the truth of the matter is, when we're in God's Word, we have experienced our lives to be changed supernaturally. And so we give a great deal of attention to the study of God's Word, and so we do that verse by verse, book by book, chapter by chapter. And so this morning we find ourselves going through the book of Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 6, and this morning we'll cover verses 8 to 15 on what will be entitled the message, A Witnessing Church. We saw last week the study of the perfect church. And now we're looking at a witnessing church. And in fact, I was not aware of this until yesterday evening as the Lord began to put it upon my heart. But we're going to dissect the life of this man called Stephen. We met him last week momentarily. We're going to get into his life over the course of the next 7 weeks. And the title of the message will be for 7 weeks, A Witnessing Church. We're going to take the life of Stephen and we're going to mimic him in our daily study and in our daily practice. And First Service had a challenge to get out there and be strong, be ready, be resting in the Lord, and be able to do all that God would have us to do. Now, I don't know where you're at. I don't know all of you. But certainly in a room like this and so many here, all of us come from varying backgrounds and varying experiences, and it's safe to say that right now that there may be some here that are red hot for Jesus, some maybe not so, some pretty cool and kind of lukewarm. And it's God's will this morning that you leave this place radically changed. That's His desire. And I know that the title, A Witnessing Church, kind of goes against our comfort zone. I want you to be fully considering the fact that I've thought about that. I realize that it makes you uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. I can't stand to be in line at the store and God says, talk to that guy. And I think it's my stomach saying something to me, or maybe it was that guy behind me or what. And I refuse. And then he says again, talk to that guy right over there in aisle 6, you know. And like you, there's that battle. Should I share? Oh, should I not share? Should I share? Oh, what should I do? Hey, I have found that it's easier to obey rather than stand there and argue with God. You're going to lose every time. you will lose. And you'll find out that God, when he tells you, go and tell that guy I love him. There's a reason why God's told you that. It's not to set you up. You know, God doesn't say, hey, Jack, go talk to that guy over there. Hey, Gabriel, Michael. Watch this. He's going to look like such a jerk right now. He doesn't do that. Can't you agree that when you are obedient to that word and you walk over and say, excuse me, but I just want you to know that God cares for you. How many times that's happened in your life and somebody says, hey man, thanks. Needed that. And they begin to share with you. My wife just left me and I don't know who to. God doesn't want to set you up. God's trying to set that guy up in aisle 6. To get him to come into the kingdom. We need to be a witnessing church. The only way that we'll be a witnessing church is if I am a witnessing person within the body. If you're a witnessing person within the body. And you might say, well, that's not my thing. Oh, yeah, it is your thing. You may never say a word. But yet you are a witness this morning. There are people at your job, people in your community that are forming opinions about who you are and what you stand for. And Stephen had an incredible message. He had incredible power about him because he believed in what he taught. You know, we by nature, almost out of courtesy, give somebody the benefit of the doubt and we let them have the floor and we'll talk to them even though we disagree with what they adhere to. But we respect them because they believe, though it may differ. Billy Graham can go to any governmental head in the world today and they'll let him in, even unannounced. You know, that's one of the signs of a prophet of God. You know, Jeremiah and Isaiah would show up and they'd open the door. And he would speak. The message was not always accepted. But you may or may not disagree with Billy Graham. I think he's God's prophet. But there's certainly a fact that when he opens his mouth, people listen. And by the way, when he's not opening his mouth, people are watching him. There's a witness. I was told, extremely blessed by Pastor Rawl. He told me that he was in New York City and was called up to Billy Graham's room at the Marriott Hotel there. And by the way, that's a testimony in itself. The Marriott Hotels have Billy Graham and his staff stay free everywhere in the world where they go. And they don't even agree spiritually. But Mr. Marriott respects Billy Graham's opinion and his integrity. And so while they were there, Pastor Rawl got called up there, and he was telling me how before Billy Graham ever goes into any hotel or any building, any convention center, anywhere, that his men go in before him, and they make sure that there's been no weird notes planted. They go through the hotel rooms, bathrooms, search everything out to make sure that integrity is kept intact, that there's not seriously a woman of the evening hiding in a closet with somebody could set him up. Isn't that all you need to see in the newspaper? There's that integrity. Why? There's a witness even if he doesn't speak. There's a witness with you even if you don't speak. And I know that's uncomfortable. But God is watching us not to disqualify us, but to encourage us. When you fail, when you trip up, when you fall down, God says, now get up because you're my witness. Not stay down because you're a jack or you're a bum. He loves you. And we need to remember that. We're going to be looking at a witnessing church this morning. Starting in Acts chapter 6, verses 8 to 15, it says there, and Stephen, full of faith and power. Well, we remember last week in our study up in verse 5, where it said there, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, they chose 6 other men. The last time we saw Stephen, he was waiting on tables. He was cleaning the church after the construction on Saturday. He was ministering, doing menial things apparently, but yet God saw his faithfulness at that and promotes him up. And by the way, while he's waiting on tables, God is using him in a powerful way. A lot of people, more now than before, will say, Jack, I think God's telling me to be your assistant pastor. Well, that's pretty neat. But do they know what an assistant pastor should be like. We should be willing at any moment to take out trash. But everybody wants a microphone and a spotlight, but nobody wants to do the things that nobody sees. Trash? Children's ministry? I think I hear God calling me some. Oh, yes, yes, he's calling me to the church down the street. I'll see you later. Let him go. The Stevens are doing the things that are not seen. God promotes, Proverbs tells us, not from the east, from the west, from the north, or from the south, but from above. God promotes. Stephen's this kind of guy. He's a wonderful man. By the way, in the way of introduction, we're going to take some time getting into introduction because it's so important. Jot these things down in your notes concerning Stephen. An amazing guy. He's a lot like us. First of all, Stephen was a Hellenist. We saw that last week, which means he was brought up in the world, but he's a believer. How many of you have been brought up in the world? I grew up in a non-Christian home. He was a Hellenist, a Greek-speaking Jew who believed, but cultured in the Greek world. He was from the synagogue that we're going to be looking at this morning. His very synagogue, he was from there, and it's that place where he goes to deliver this message. That's just like us. We go back to those. We come to maybe a Harvest Crusade, or we come to a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, and we give our heart to Christ. Then what do? We go back to those who we associate with. We go back to the job on Monday. We begin to share with people. They begin to say, what's with you? All of a sudden, you got a Bible. What are you, some kind of a Jesus freak? And they're watching to see what you're made out of now. And you love them. You tell them at work. You don't turn your shoulder on them and, well, I'm a believer now, and you're a heathen. Ah, foul heathen, you. You stay over there, and us believers are over here in the light. That's not the way to do it. Stephen went to the very synagogue. And then we'll see also that he's a lot like us today and that he goes to his own family. Those that he associated with by worship, by living together. And then listen to this. Stephen's name means the victor's crown. Isn't that neat? What a neat name. If your name's Stephen this morning, it means the victor's crown. Stephen is going to be a gem in the crown of Jesus Christ. He's a gem. He's a jewel. The word Stephen is the word Stephanos. And it means an achiever. One who achieves a crown by earning it. Now you have your salvation freely given to you. Isn't that nice? All the hard stuff's done. Now that you are saved, and I know I'm not talking to everybody here this morning, but for those of you who are saved this morning, Stephen's name means, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it now? Jack, do I have to do things to keep my salvation? No, not at all. But because you have now experienced love and forgiveness and grace, you stand before God and you go, what do you want to do with me, God? Whatever you want, you do. Call the shots. Stephen was that kind of guy. And a witnessing church needs to be like that kind of a church. Lord, what do you want us to do? I want you to go to the other side of the world. Well, let's go. I want you to go down the street. All right. It's always, yes, Lord. It can never be, no, Lord. That's impossible. It's always, yes, Lord, in the affirmative. We need to remember that. So let's dive into this. And we're going to look at point one. And that is, as a church, remember who you are. You are this church. You and I need to be, number one, ready for the world. Ready for the world. Peter tells us in 1 Peter to be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks of us a reason for the hope that we have. You need to be ready. Are you ready before the world today? If you're not, we need to get ready, and this is how we do it. Looking at the life of Stephen, verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. He was full. The word full in the Greek means filled up and overflowing full. And by the way, the word suggests that you can be emptied out. And that's an eye-opener for us. Did you know right now in the Spirit, we've got these little meters in the Spirit. God just kind of looks out there and says, oh gosh, there's Johnny and there's Becky and, you know, like Hobo Kelly kind of stuff, you know. But God can look at us. And he says, well, you know what, you're running a little low. You need to get filled again. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the word in the Greek is, be filled with the Spirit, and that is over and over again, be ye continually filled up. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you full this morning? Well, I'm not into that. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then you need to get filled up again. The word implies that we can be spilled out. Now, let me ask you something. When's the last time you got filled? When's the last time you bowed your head and said, Lord, all this power and all this stuff the Scripture talks about, I want it. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name to fill me. You know, Jesus spoke to believers when he said, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to them that ask? He spoke it to believers, not non-believers. We need to be filled up again. Yes, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, never to leave you, but are you overflowing? If you're overflowing, your life will be characterized by not only the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but you will have faith and power. And some of your Bibles might have the word grace in power, if you look real close. But the word is faith in the original language. But it's a faith that is powered by God with grace. Filled up, overflowing faith. The faith there means a persuasive or an assuring faith, a graceful faith. We're not talking about putting bumper stickers on your car and you know, bondoing a Bible to your head. I'm a Christian. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a persuasive faith. Stephen had that faith. I asked Dr. Wilder Smith, we're going up the freeway together, coming up here. And he said, what's going on? And I told him about Russia and stuff. He says, you know, that's great, but it will not be successful completely unless you have people living in Russia. And I said, I believe that, but I'd like to know why you say that. And he said, because people are converted more firmly and more confidently if they can watch your life rather than hear a message on the street. And isn't that true? Stephen was full of faith, but it was the faith that persuaded people to listen to his message. How's your faith? How's my faith? Are people watching our lives without even a word? And they're saying, man, you know what? I don't agree with everything that guy says. I don't like, you know, his hair color, his whatever. But there's one thing I can't fault the guy on. He believes in what he believes. Do you have that kind of persuasive faith? It's ours for the taking. Do you want it? I need it. I want it. And then the word is their power. It says that he's full of faith and power. Dunamis, dynamic, dynamite. The word means force, strength, a tenacious might. Beautiful. This is Stephen. What a guy. And he's the waiter at the church. He's the one waiting on tables. How convicting this is. But we must be filled up again. Remember the little song, I am the teapot, short and stout. This is my handle and this is my spout. Is that right? That's about all I know. So let's take it from the top. Ready? You know what, there's a lot of truth to that little thing because the lid pops off, God fills us up, and we're supposed to pour it out. If you're stagnant right now, it's because all of your knowledge that you have, it's just sitting inside kind of rotten. And you need to start giving it out. And God begins to fill you up. You'll experience power in your life. You'll be a witnessing person. You don't have to have a bunch of tracts in your pocket and a 9-foot Bible. You just live under the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you'll have power. You'll have faith. And when you open your mouth or when you walk to your job or whatever you're doing, you will be persuasive. people will step back and they may criticize you. In fact, I think you ought to get ready for it. But when the chips are down for them, they're going to come talk to you. We need to be ready in the world. That's God's will. Jesus said in Matthew 16:25, "For so whoever desires to save his life will lose his life, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And the meaning of this word, we could spend months on this verse in Matthew 16:25 alone. It simply means die to your own self. And why do I say that? Jesus says, man, if you're trying to protect your world and your little glass house, when you'll come to the end of your life would have been self-lived and it will mean nothing. But he says, if you're willing to give of your life and to be absolutely ready at my command, you'll find life. You want to know why Stephen was so effective? You want to know why there are some around us here today that are effective? It's because they're already dead. They died already. You know, as we study this message and all by Stephen, he's going to come to a point where he's going to preach one of the greatest messages ever seen in Scripture. And what do you think they do? They all run forward and sign up to the new believers class. They pick up stones and they kill him. What a message. What a crusade. But he was ready. You know why? He was living his life for Christ Jesus. And what are we doing? Are we playing the church game or are we living our life for Christ?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called The Witnessing Church, a look at the last 8 verses of the book of Acts chapter 6. The Witnessing Church is actually the title of this mini-series based on the passages found in Acts chapters 6 and 7. Here we are told of the evangelism endeavors of the earliest believers and the polarized reactions to it. We'll continue in this series called The Witnessing Church on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Once an individual receives God the Son, prayer instantly becomes one of the most essential of practices. That means that we must understand prayer, how it works, what a privilege it is, what kinds of prayers the Almighty hears. Now, if you'd like to learn more about the true application, purpose, and practice of prayer, and support Real Radio at the same time, well, here's an offer you'll be glad to know about. It's called When a Christian Prays. When a Christian Prays is a 2-CD set that has been recommended as a thorough, in-depth approach on this great privilege and blessing we call prayer, being able to make our praises, thanks, and petitions known to our Lord. Here's our offer. When a Christian Prays is yours for a gift of any amount, all of which will be used to support Real Radio with Jack Hibbs. Once again, for your gift to Real Radio of any amount, we will send you this 2-CD set of Pastor Jack's teaching called When a Christian Prays. Once you hear it, you'll never look at prayer the same way again. Now, you can visit us at realradioactive.org and make your contribution, realradioactive.org. You'll also be able to read more about the series under the banner that reads Special Offer, realradioactive.org. To get in touch by telephone, use our easy-to-remember phone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free number. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your contribution and make your request, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.